Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, we're talking episode 5 of HBO's miniseries, The Regime, All Ye Faithful. This stars Kate Winslet. It is Christmas time in a civil war, and delusion is at an all-time high. Let's get into it. Hello, Steven.
Hello, Laura.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well. I'm over here enjoying a kind of cold Pacific Northwest afternoon, but that's just a standard April afternoon. What are you going to do?
Dude, right?
Yeah, it's a little chilly.
Someone in my exercise class today was like, did you hear about that 4-minute solar eclipse?
Right.
Like, we've been having that the whole winter.
Oh, yeah. It's been chilly, but I've been having a good time. We got tons of electric blankets to keep you warm. So I'm chilly, but I'm relaxed today, actually. Yeah.
Oh, I love that for you.
Yeah. How's it going in your neck of the woods?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm emotional, though.
Emotional?
Yeah, I have emotions, and I'm emotionally responding to things, and I'm like, ooh, I don't like this.
Emotional damage.
Where did my humanity come from? You go right back into that tin.
Go back in that human box where you belong. Is that what you told it?
Yeah, I said, no feelings for you. Mm-mm. And my feelings, you're like, I think I'm just going to stay. And I'm like, okay, we'll work around you.
Just a little in the background. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling guilty for some stuff, like stuff that isn't like worth feeling guilty about. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
yes.
I'm a woman, so obviously I should feel guilty all the time.
Oh, yeah. We all should feel guilty all the time. No. You have no reason to feel guilty. You're fine.
You know
fine.
Who
You're
should
wonderful.
Feel guilty, but likely does not?
Who?
Elena Vernham.
Oh.
Chancellor of an unnamed Central European country.
You mean Chancellor Elena Vernham from HBO Max's The Regime, played by the incomparable Kate Winslet?
I mean her.
Oh, I love her, but also I have mixed feelings about her after watching the last 2 episodes in the miniseries. Boy, did she take some swings, I tell you what.
Oh, she took some swings, and I kind of skulk around The Regime's subreddit, and they also are very conflicted about Los Elena.
Oh.
But I do have to say, having watched now the 5th and 6th episode of this miniseries, so the finale is the 6th episode, I went from being a little bit disapproving of Elena to being like, no, she's actually pretty great. Like, not as a leader, but as girl boss, she is fantastic.
She gets what she wants, I suppose. So,
well, yeah. I mean, she survives.
Yeah, she survives.
Is the thing. Mm-hmm. And I would say that America gets what it wants.
Yeah, it do. Yeah, it do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the last 2 episodes, All Ye Faithful,
episode
which
five.
Takes... Yeah, episode 5, All Ye Faithful, takes place 6 months after episode 4. It is Christmas time, and the Civil War is on. It is 23 kilometers from the palace.
Yeah.
Then you have episode 6, which is Don't Yet Rejoice. And that is our finale. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about Elena and Herbert, or Zubak, as I prefer to call him.
Oh, Herbert.
Because Herbert seems like too gentle a name for the quote-unquote ox, the quote-unquote butcher, Herbert.
He's a bit of a burly, gristly man. And yeah, calling him Herbert, I feel like his name should be something like Destroyer Zubak. He really does.
Zubak feels right. Herbert feels silly.
Yeah. By the way, we don't come here to talk about necessarily the content so much as analysis. So we assume you've already seen it. Heavy, heavy spoiler alert for both episode 5 and episode 6. So episode 5 takes place 6 months after the ending of episode 4.
Yeah.
Elena and Zubak have rejoiced. They've come back together, and they are just making out in front
so,
of Elena's
husband. So, yeah, that's the end
husband.
Of episode 4. Yeah. He's released from prison. Mm-hmm. He reunites with Elena. They immediately join in the carnal sense.
Yeah.
And episode 5 is 6 months later. So they've been together for 6 months. We are trickle-truthed.
Yeah.
About what has occurred over this time. First of all, it opens with a couples therapy session in which an expert dream analyst is talking to Herbert Zubak about his dreams.
Where he's dreaming about biting her fingers.
Yeah, yeah. It's something so unique to see this like mid-century sort of authoritarian government utilizing the most 21st century shenanigans available, which is like the couples counselor, the dream interpretation, working through your issues, using the sort of neoliberal cultural artifacts of self-actualization. Like, oh, yeah. That's, the word self-actualization is used. And I always find that hilarious in the context of these really traditional power structures. Like, her power structure is so antique, but everything in her life is like blisteringly modern. She is on Instagram hardcore. Mm-hmm. She is employing dream analysts. She's getting into like the woo-woo wellness shenanigans. It's great. But what she is also doing is being completely delusional about the state of her state.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. As they're doing this couples counseling, they are also preparing for Christmas. And as they're preparing for Christmas, you see a little line on the screen that says 23 kilometers from the palace. The rebels are 23 kilometers away from the palace. Mm-hmm. There's war in the background. There's rebels raging. And Elena and Zubak and Oscar, her like kind of adopted kid.
Yeah, and Agnes's actual son. Elena's adopted son?
I guess, right? Like, she's sort of unofficially adopted him. They are preparing to have a very cozy, very intimate Christmas while you can hear bombs exploding
and helicopters going overhead. Zubak is aware of the war. Elena seems completely neutral to it, but Zubak's like, okay, it's one of ours. And she's like, oh yes, of course. Oh, yeah. Oscar, select the Christmas carp because a tradition in this country is a Christmas carp. So they bring in a bunch of different carps in a plastic container filled with water.
I love this part. I love it so much.
And Oscar selects one, names it Elena, becomes extremely close to it, and is very concerned about its future.
Yeah.
Because he slowly begins to understand that the carp is cooked, and he's not down with that.
He's like, are they going to kill Elena? And they're like, what do you mean? The fish that I named Elena. They're like, oh.
Yes, of course.
Oh yeah, like over the course of this, Oscar gets the most screen time and the most like development that he ever has had.
So they're doing Christmas together, and they're sort of putting together a family unit that they have cobbled from Elena's fevered imagination. So she's taking a family photo in front of the Christmas tree with Zubak and Oscar. Not her husband, not her son, just her imaginary family. It's indicative of the delusion place she is in.
So deluded.
And she's so preoccupied with quote-unquote self-actualization, like the mental, psychiatric, working on yourself process that's clearly been going on these last 6 months. In addition to the dream interpretations, she is also going down to her dad's little tomb area with Zubak to be like, Father, I've been working on myself.
We've both been working on each other.
Working on each other so hard. And it is time for you to go. You can no longer be such a controlling person in my life, speaking to a corpse.
Daddy, you're not in control of me anymore. Both of them affirm that he's no longer in control of her. Zubak and Elena talking to her father. And it is something. Because taken outside of the context of this palace, this delusional relationship, and this palace that's about to be ransacked, it is actually a sign of like a lot of emotional maturity and evolution that they're able to like go and confront her father/father figure and just make amends and say, no, you're not in control of me anymore. I am in control of me. It's kind of sweet while you know this is a family she just cobbled together from the nonsense of her brain.
I love that you think it's sweet.
I do think it's kind of sweet.
What is unavoidably obvious to me is that it doesn't matter. All of the things that she's doing are the sort of things that narcissists do when they're trying to avoid being in reality. Mm-hmm. So they'll always be like, I'm working on myself. And they'll start a project that has absolutely nothing to do with what is actually wrong in their lives. Iconic understanding of the human animal. So as days pass, you've got rebels distance from the palace, 23 kilometers. Rebels distance from the palace, 10.9 kilometers.
Yeah.
Agnes is wandering around and talking to some of the people at the palace she works with, and they've been gotten by the Americans. She's like, well, you're wearing Italian leather shoes in a war zone. Mm-hmm. Of course I know what's going on. And this gentleman is like, look, you and Oscar need to leave. And I have spaces on a helicopter the day after Christmas. Yeah. I'm not going to let you say no. She's still resistant to the idea of leaving, still resistant to the idea of betraying her country.
Poor Agnes.
Poor Agnes. Mm. He's like, the Americans want your intelligence, the palace ghost. They want what you know.
I love that they call her the palace ghost. I know. She really is.
That's an amazing name. Yeah.
She exists within this palace. Doesn't really have much power within it, but she sees everything.
Yeah. We have two pieces of information that are relevant to the plot. The first piece of information is that Nikki, Elena's husband, after she and Zubek, you know, made love in front of everyone at the end of episode 4, he tried to kill himself with sleeping pills and has been sent away to a chalet in Switzerland. The other thing we know is that 10 years ago, Elena's rise to power was heralded by the playing of The Barber of Seville state television. Yeah. This is relevant. So we're watching Christmas festivities go down. We hear war outside. We know the rebels are advancing. The cabinet, parliamentary cabinet that runs the country at Elena's behest, is sitting here going, look, we need to do something. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a proposal together. I call it Elena's Christmas sack. You give money, you subsidize things. You need to let the country know you're still the best choice. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hard no. I'm in love with Zubek. I'm not even thinking about my job. I am entirely ensconced in this romantic fever dream I've built for myself. So as the walls of the palace are being battered, we have the parliament in a disco talking about the political outcome of what they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. They're basically like, she will not listen to reason. Mm-hmm. We are about to be killed in a palace. What are we gonna do?
Yeah.
And while they're having this conversation, a Christmas special starring Elena and a number of dancers that we saw from the Heroes Banquet. They're putting together like a sort of like Radio City Christmas show.
It's delightful.
Where she's singing classic Christmas tunes. A Christmas carp is carted out, which totally freaks out Oscar. So he tries to liberate Elena the carp. Zubek and Elena are exchanging Christmas gifts. Yeah. Zubak's continual issue within their couples counseling is that he sees that Elena has made him into a weapon. Mm-hmm. He's like, what happened in episode 4, killing Kiplinger? I hurt someone to make you love me again. I'm just a weapon to you.
Yeah.
And she responds to all of this with the emotional intelligence of a teaspoon by getting him a literal gun for Christmas.
Right. She doesn't even get it. She doesn't even get what she did. And Zubek, he gives Elena a very, very bad painting of her that he painted himself.
It's an excellent example of naive art.
And she is trying to do the best she can to not say this is an amateur piece. This is like a child did this and I can't hang this anywhere in the palace.
It's but thank you so much. It's too precious to be displayed.
He's like, do you like it? She's like, well, like and dislike aren't words we can really use to define art. It's more like, I appreciate it. Thank you, darling. Where should we hang it? He says, and she's like, what if we just give this to Agnes? And she finds a proper place for it. Agnes! And hands it off to Agnes, and she runs off to do something with it.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Yes. Just like a quick aside for Agnes. You get like a heartbreaking window into the way that the family life is structured, because Elena and Oscar are hanging out in the bathroom with the selected Christmas carp, also Elena, in the bathtub. And she's like, when I was a child, I also selected the Christmas carp. And he's like, I love my carp. Agnes knocks on the door and she's like, oh, it's 6 p.m. And she's like, oh, already? Okay, you can have your 20 minutes with him. So like, that's how life in the palace is structured. She gets 20 minutes with her own child.
Which is so sad. Poor Agnes. And she's just a tragic
figure. And every other time, he's just like a plaything to Elena. A play child.
Right.
That she can adore and give things to without real emotional requirements.
So at the end of this Christmas show where Elena is, it's a recording of Elena performing plus a number of other dancers. The lights are flickering in the actual Christmas show itself.
Yeah. But the parliament, they're having conversations about replacing Elena. They're like, Laskin is sitting there like, well, you know, my mother had episodes like these. I look at that and I'm just concerned. The delusion, the grandiosity, you know, if there was a medical contingency in the Constitution, they're like, well, you wrote the Constitution. What would happen if for whatever medical reason, we had to take Elena out of office. He's like, well, I guess that would put us in charge. And so they're like, their brains are turning on how they can use this moment of governmental crisis to place themselves in power, to A, save themselves, and B, when you are proximal to power, it really just means you want the power.
Yeah, they are straight up formulating a coup at this point.
Yes, and then the lights start flickering.
The lights start flickering. Oscar sees the Christmas carp in this Christmas special is cooked. He gets incredibly concerned for his carp that he named Elena. He runs outside with this Elena fish and tries to throw it into the fountain to save it. Agnes goes after him and says, "Oscar, what are you doing?" And he's like, I don't want them to cook Elena. I love my Elena fish." And in that moment, Agnes makes a decision and says, "No, you and I, we're going to Paris tomorrow. Let your Elena fish go free. You and I are getting out of here." And she makes that strong choice. I'm like, "Oh, good for you, Agnes. Yeah. Taking charge and doing your best you can to get your son out of a bad situation."
And I would like to just take a moment to tip my hat to the way that Agnes describes France. She's like, "You know, they're strange and they smell like onions and they worship a tiny little guy who ran screaming out of Russia."
Napoleon. You mean Napoleon?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, but you'd like a French tart, wouldn't you?
And he's like, "Yeah, sure. Why not?"
Yeah.
Better than this weird situation that he's in.
She chooses life. Mm-hmm. And suddenly The Barber of Seville starts playing on state television. It replaces the Christmas special that was playing before. So this is the indication, like from 10 years ago, that there's a regime change happening. All of the state channels have been taken over by the rebels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is such a good, rich moment, because you know what it means. They've already talked about what it means when The Barber of Seville has played before. And they see it as the leaders of the country are plotting to stage a coup against Elena. And they go, "Oh, The Barber of Seville. Okay. We have to do something.
It's happening.
We have to do something." And then they all go to see Elena and they try to figure out what we're going to do. What are we going to do? What they end up deciding to do, though, is something I didn't expect at all, is at the end of episode 5, they decide that, well, Elena goes through a couple phases, right? She's like, maybe I should just kill myself. And they all kind of go, "No one says anything." And she's like, no, I shouldn't do that. What are we talking about?
Okay, so the army comes in,
yeah,
almost shot by Zubak with his newly minted Christmas gun.
pretty useful.
And they're like, "Palace breach. We're here to protect Elena." And she, like, Kate Winslet is having the most fun. Mm-hmm. She's just like peering behind corners.
Oh my
gosh. A little girl.
Just peeking out of a door. Like
what's going on?
It's like a Monty Python sketch.
Truly. She is Monty Pythoning for a lot of this. And they're like, "Okay, quick thing. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go on to Instagram Live and we're going to switch power over to somebody else to prevent every single rebel from coming in and killing us."
Yeah.
So they set this up. For the first time in the entire series, we see Elena wearing red instead of her trademark teal green, which is the color of the country. And they're like, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. The only one who could take the place of me, Elena, is the foundling's heir, Zubak."
And Zubak's like, "I'm sorry, say what?
They dress him up in that teal green so that he is now looks like the representative of the state. Mm-hmm. She shows up on Instagram Live. She has a pre-prepared speech looking at her from the teleprompter. And so she's like, "I have done a lot. You know, the economy has grown 3 times. Literacy rates are 97%. Everything's improved. Female participation in the workforce is up 37%. Mm-hmm. But she stumbles over the change of power. She's like, a change that is coming.
She doesn't quite get there. She hesitates.
It's supposed to be immediately. And she's like, very soon.
She hesitates.
Yeah, she can't give up power.
No.
And then the rebels hit.
Boom.
So they have to leave immediately. The idea of watching a state power shift on Instagram Live is delightful to me.
Right.
Thank you, Will Tracy, for allowing me to have that in my brain.
Oh, wasn't it, though? I mean, you saw from the moment she went live, it was like, 1,000 people, 5,000 people watching, 10,000, 20,000,
44,000,
150,000 people, 200,000 people are watching, and she can see the numbers rising too, and you can just feel the tension in her mounting. She's so hesitant. She doesn't want to give the power up.
Yeah.
Not ready for it.
She flees.
Yeah.
she flees and leaves Oscar. Like, Zubak is even like, oh, what about Oscar? We have to go get your adopted son. And she's like, no, we can't.
Like, no, no, we can't go back. We can't go back. And it turns into this mad chase scene.
This nighttime chase scene.
The rebels have stormed the palace at night. So it's, you can't see what's going on. It is utter chaos.
It is the Winter Palace in 1918. It is Versailles, like 1789. It's all of those moments together. They just trash the palace. They're going through. They're tearing things up. Mm-hmm. They're shooting. Basically, because the Agnes escape is set for the day after Christmas, and the fact that Christmas Eve is when this hits, nobody's getting out.
Yeah.
It's just Zubak and Elena on the run, on their own. And that's episode 5.
Yeah. You really see the difference in character between Agnes and Elena, because when the chips are down, Agnes goes to protect her child, and Elena abandons everyone except for Zubak, and Zubak only because he can protect her. Like, as they're running through the tunnel, she just goes with him and they escape. But then they're betrayed by the leaders of the country too at the very end, as they're trying to fly off in a helicopter. So they are just left to their own devices to try to survive in a country in the middle of a civil war. And that's where episode 5 ends.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and brief final note. Her father, in his little glass coffin,
my gosh, yeah,
is tossed over the side of the balcony by the rebels. So I guess this really is the release of Elena from her weird daddy issues.
Right. Her father has been cast into the street. His what do you call it? His case fallen into 1,000 pieces. Agnes is dead, having attempted to rescue Oscar. Oscar is abandoned. We don't even know what happens to him.
Yeah, we don't know what happens to Oscar.
He's just...
Only we don't.
He's just gone. He's just hanging out, hiding.
I mean, hopefully he's fine, because, you know, the rebels, however rebellious, are human beings, and they're probably not like, you know what? Let's kill a child.
Yeah,
so... Like, being a child usually gives you a +1 to survival in a war right? zone.
So all throughout this series up until this point, there aren't really repercussions for what she does and what they do. It's like, oh, maybe it's just going to be a kooky, quirky chain of events that's going to let them bumble back into power and the people will love them again. But no, things hit the fan in episode 5.
Yeah,
and there are roads that cannot be uncrossed at that point.
It is the only time reality has even touched Elena.
I know.
And that makes episode 6 so good, which we will cover tomorrow.
Yes, we will. It's great. Episode 6. I barely was able to take any notes because it was so good and so fast-paced. And I think you'll love it too.
Yeah.
Anyway, folks, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye. This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.